Sunday, January 25th, third Sunday in Ordinary Time. First reading from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 23 through chapter 9, verse 3. First, the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the end he has glorified the seaward road, the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. Anguish has taken wing, dispelled is darkness, for there is no gloom where but now there was distress. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing, as they rejoice before you as at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster you have smashed, as on the day of Midian. Haydock Commentary. First the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Tiglath-Pileser took away whole tribes the year after this. See 2 Chronicles 5:26. Yet these people were the first enlightened with the rays of the gospel. See Matthew 4:13. Though they were so much despised. See John 7:52. Here Christ preached first, but after his passion, few Jews believed in him. The second reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 10 through 13 and 17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers and sisters, by Chloe's people, that there are rivalries among you. I mean that each of you is saying, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with the wisdom of human eloquence, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its meaning. Haydock Commentary. To hinder schisms and contentions is the chief design of this letter. Each one was bragging of their master by whom they had been baptized and made Christians. Is Christ divided? Is not your salvation, is not your justification and baptism, and all gifts, from him? Chloe was a Christian woman of Corinth. Apollos is the person mentioned in Acts 18:24. Cephas is St. Peter, so called in the Syriac tongue. Was Paul crucified for you? St. Augustine says, though brothers may die for brothers, yet the blood of no martyr is shed for the remission of a brother's sin. Christ did not send me to baptize. That is, the first and principal intent in my vocation to the apostleship was to preach the gospel before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. To baptize is common to all, but to preach is peculiarly the function of an apostle. The Spirit of God, which guided the thoughts and pen of St. Paul and the other sacred writers, inspired them to deliver the gospel truths with great simplicity, without the ornaments of an artificial human eloquence, lest the cross of Christ should be made void, lest the conversion of the world might be attributed to any human means, and not to the power of God and of Christ crucified. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. Haydock Commentary. Jesus left the wilderness and passed a few days on the banks of the Jordan, affording his holy precursor an opportunity of bearing repeated testimony of him and of his divine mission, and then retired into Upper Galilee to avoid the fury of the Jews. Jesus Christ then enters more publicly on his mission, and about to occupy the place of his precursor, the Baptist, he chooses Galilee for the first theater of his ministry, the place assigned by the ancient prophets. The Pharisees had prevailed upon Herod to arrest the Baptist, nor could their hatred be less to Jesus Christ, who drew a still greater concourse of disciples after him. Jesus leaves Nazareth for good, and retires to Capernaum, a very flourishing and much frequented place, both for Jews and Gentiles. Here he makes his chief residence, a place well calculated for his preaching, being on the limits of both Galilees, although he made frequent excursions through Galilee to disseminate his doctrines. The light that has arisen, foretold by the prophet Isaiah, was our Savior Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who now enlightened them by his instructions and by his grace. Thus, when the morning star has gone by and disappeared, the sun rises and diffuses its light to mortals who rejoice that the darkness of night is removed from the earth. Jesus began not to preach till St. John had announced his coming to the world, that the dignity of his sacred person might be thus manifested, and the incredulous Jews be made without excuse. If, after the preaching of St. John and his expressed testimony of the divinity of our Redeemer, they could still say, "Thou givest testimony of thyself, thy testimony is not true," what would they not have said if, without any precursor, he had, all on a sudden, appeared amongst them? He did not begin to preach till St. John was cast into prison, that the people might not be divided. On this account also, St. John wrought no miracle, that the people might be struck with the miracles of our Savior and yield their assent to him. So says St. John Chrysostom. St. John began his exhortations with the threat of eternal punishments, but Christ sweetens the hardships of penance by reminding us of the reward. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus wished not only to prove that the establishment of his religion was heavenly, but also to humble the pride of man, and therefore he did not choose orators and philosophers, but fishermen. So says St. Jerome. If we compare what is related by the evangelists as to the time that St. Peter and St. Andrew became Christ's disciples, we shall find that St. Andrew, who had been a disciple of St. John the Baptist, brought to Christ his brother Simon. See John 1:40. But at that time they stayed not with him so as to become his disciples, or to remain with him as they afterwards did by quitting their boat, their nets, and their fishing, which is here related. Jesus Christ here makes an allusion to the prior occupation of his apostles. David in his Psalms makes similar allusions to his former occupation of shepherd. He took him from the flocks of sheep, he brought him from following the ewes big with young to feed Jacob his servant, and Israel his inheritance. Psalm 77. It was objected by the ancient enemies of Christianity, Porphyrius, Julian the Apostate, and others, that Christ chose for his apostles simple and ignorant men, easy to be imposed upon, and not such as would have been on their guard against deception, thus converting that into an argument against the doctrine of Jesus Christ, which of all other circumstances most solidly and forcibly establishes its divinity and authority. If Christ had persuaded the ignorant apostles only, there might be some room for such an argument. But if these 12 ignorant men triumphed over the learning, the eloquence, the sophisms of the philosophers themselves, over the strong arm of power in the hands of tyrants, and finally over the devils and passions of men, which were the last to give up the combat against a doctrine that established itself on their ruin, then we may conclude with St. Paul that it was wisdom in God to choose the weak things of this world to confound the strong, the foolish and the things that are not to confound those which are.